think that the Torah in this week's parasha is perhaps at its most radical. And I'm not referring to the things that you and I might initially read in this week's parasha and think are rather radical. I'm referring kind of something else. That is, when we open Parashas Ki Tetzeh, we're immediately hit by things like Ishes Yifas Toar, the war bride, somebody with whom a Jewish soldier falls in love with in the course of war, and the Torah describes what happens next. We're then hit with the Ben Sorer Umoreh, the rebellious child, and instructions for what to do. I don't think that's the Torah that's most radical. Even at the end of the parsha, the mitzvah of Amalek strikes us as pretty radical today. I don't think that's the Torah that's most radical at all. The Torah, when it was given, and in the world into which it was given, those things, I don't think would have been seen as terribly outside the pale of normal. The real radical part of this week's parsha comes at the beginning of the seventh Aliyah. The Torah tells us that if you have lent money to somebody who's poor, good thing too. You lent them money and you took something that's collateral. So I gave Kali some money and I took something in return to make sure I get the money back. If you took something from somebody who's poor, something which they depend on as part of their life functioning, because they had nothing else to give you, you can't hold on to it. If they need it at night, it's a blanket, it's a bed, you gotta give it back every night. You can take it the next morning. But if they're counting on it, you have to give it back. If it's something they count on for their functioning during their day, it's something that they use for their livelihood, you can take it at night. But you better give it back every morning. That's what the Torah says. If you have a poor person who works for you, a day laborer, good for you, you hired them. You give them employment, you know what? You better pay them within 12 hours of their having done work for you. That day, you gotta pay them. If not, you're in trouble. Lo satem mishpat ger v'yasom v'lo sachbol beged almana. Do not pervert the justice of a ger, a convert, or a yatom, an orphan. Somebody stands before you, and you have a decision to make. There's somebody very powerful standing on one side, and there's somebody who's powerless on the other. Somebody who has nobody to defend them. You can judge against them, find against them, make a decision that goes against them, and you know what? Nobody else is going to say boo, because there's nobody to stick up. Do it, says Rashi, you're over two lavim. You're over two averos in the Torah. One is the perverting justice, and two is perverting the justice of the powerless. Why? Why does the Torah over and over and over again come back to the gear, the atom, the almanah, the ani, the avyon, the downtrodden, the powerless? Why? The Torah tells us in this week's parasha. Not just because God said so. Says God, very simple. You were there. You were there too. You were once downtrodden. You were once powerless. You once had nobody to stick up for you. You were there. And you better never forget. The Torah was given into a world that was a Darwinian world. Survival of the fittest. And it comes along and says, no, that's not the way we're going to run this world. The powerless are the people we're going to look out for. Or we're going to obligate ourselves to look out for them and to strengthen them and to help them. That was revolutionary. revolutionary, that was radical and changed the world forever. And that's why it doesn't seem so radical to us anymore. We take it for granted. But we changed the world. And it's been part and parcel of who we are ever since. Those of you who learned Yeshayahu, you know that when the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash, took place, so much of it was because we had drifted from this core idea. We weren't doing Tzedek U'Mishpat anymore. We were giving karbanos, but we weren't taking care of the powerless. And God says to his Levim, is that what I was looking for? Is that why I took you out of Mitzrayim? So did you give me sacrifices and trample over other people? That's not at the core of Judaism. And ever since, it's been part and parcel of who we are. For hundreds of years, you could visit any Jewish community anywhere in the land. Any. And you'd find a guy in Staffel. Somebody whose responsibility was to give out money to those who didn't. You'd find a gemach. A gemach was a place you could get a loan, interest-free. Sometimes it actually loaned clothing and items, but more often it was money. You'd find a hachnasas kala, a fund for young brides whose families didn't have money to pay for a wedding. And this was revolutionary. This was different than what you'd find in any other community in the Middle Ages. In a Jewish community, you'd find Jews taking care of Jews. And it was true well into the 20th century. I would imagine that for most of us, when our grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, whoever it was, came here to the United States at some point, for some of us, it was our parents. There was a Jewish help association of some sort that helped them make their way in. That's what Jews do. That's what we've done. To some degree, I feel that today we may be drifting a little bit away from that. I think the notion that's part and parcel of what it means to be a Jew is to help the powerless, is to be looking to do for others, is something that as 21st century modern Orthodox American Jews of privilege, we've drifted from a little bit. It's something that we do to check off the box. I'll tell you what's even worse. In some circles, chesed, that's for girls. Chesed is for girls. Guys, they can do other things. Chesed is for Jews. Were only girls enslaved in Egypt? I don't think so. God himself says the reason we do this is because we were there. We know what it feels like. It's why God took us out, so that we can do for others. It needs to be something that we are all doing. It needs to be something that is part and parcel of who we are, how we define ourselves as a Jew. Day in and day out is not just looking out for ourselves, not just looking at the person next to me, but finding the person who doesn't have. The person who's less fortunate, the person who has downtrodden, the person who's going through a tough time. Find them. They're there. And do something for them. I'm going to tell you about my friend. I'll tell you about my niece. And then we're going to close. My friend. I have a friend whose name is Joseph Weiligus. Joseph Weiligus, when he was in high school, his parents were very involved in an organization called Bikur Cholim. I think we just did a project for Bikur Cholim. Bikur Cholim brings things to people who are in hospitals. So his parents were very involved, and so from time to time he would go with them to visit people in the hospitals. And he realized that going to the hospitals and they took the Jewish patients and they handed them these packages, he realized two things. First of all, there were a lot of kids in the hospital. And these packages really weren't doing very much for kids. The other thing he realized is that, you know, kids in a hospital actually need very different things than adults in a hospital do. And so the first idea he had was he would start asking people if they had extra dolls in their house that nobody was using. And he would collect those. And he would give it to the people who were doing the Bikur Cholim. Instead of just giving like a Shabbos package to an adult, find a kid in the hospital and give them a teddy bear. And then somebody hooked him up with a family, a Jewish family that actually produces teddy bears. And he went to them and he said, you know, would you mind donating a few hundred teddy bears? And we'll give them out to children in hospitals. Sure enough, he said yes. And then at a certain point, doctors told him, you know what kids could really use in a hospital? They can actually use what are known as surgi dolls. Have you ever seen a surgi doll before? A surgi doll is a doll that doctors will use to explain to a child what is going to happen to them. So they'll use it as sort of a model of the human body. So that the kid begins to understand what's about to happen. They can really use that. And you know what? These are things that other kids can make. And so he began to go to other schools and say, hey, you know, if you can, I'll let me show you how you make a surgi doll. We'll collect them and we'll bring them to the hospitals. Kids could really use them. And by the time he came back from Israel, he was in college, he was interning for major Fortune 500 companies. And at that time, he realized, you know what else? You know what else kids could really use? They could use adult sustainers at times. Because there are times it gets really lonely for a kid in the hospital. Your parents are working. What can they do? Your kid's there on their own. And so he began to go to these companies that he's working for, and he said to them, you know what? Wouldn't it be great PR for your company if you told your employees that they could spend a few hours in a hospital and you'd pay them? Spend a few hours with a kid in the hospital and you wouldn't deduct any salary from them? Wouldn't that look great for your company? And sure enough, you know what he said? It would. And so you had big executives, Wall Street executives, who started taking time off from their companies, spending time in hospitals with kids, and getting paid. Today, Project Sunshine has 15,000 standing volunteers in 175 cities in the United States, Canada, Israel, and Kenya. My friend Joseph Weiligus, a few years back, was named Harvard Business School's Nonprofit Entrepreneur of the Year. It started with this. It started by looking at other people and noticing what it was that they needed. That's my friend. Let me tell you about my niece. My niece is 19 years old. I would say cognitively, emotionally, she's probably about a 5 or 6. She's on the autistic spectrum. She's never going to get well beyond that. That's where she is. That's where she'll always be. My niece lived for many years in Dallas, Texas. And when she was there, the highlights of her week would be Shabbos afternoon, and her friends would come over. And she'd tell you about her friends. And she could tell you from now to tomorrow about her friends. Who were her friends? There were other kids in the neighborhood who were volunteering for friendships. And they'd come over and they'd spend time with her. They'd play with her. They'd take her outside. My niece had no idea that there was some difference between her and these other people. She had no idea that this was chesed of any type. These were her friends. And she counted on them, week in and week out. These friends changed her life, without a doubt. So guys, it doesn't matter whether you're going to change the world or you're going to change one person's world. At the heart and core of what it means to be a Jew is to look out for those people in our world who don't have, who have less, who need, notice them, reach out to them. That, says God, is why I took you out of Mitzrayim. Because you were there, you experienced it yourself. God doesn't ever want us to forget. Good chance.